You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Staying with work, we've now got Allison Green. She runs the blog Ask a Manager and is our regular guest every month to talk about all things jobs related. Last month, it was about what to wear and not to wear at work. This time around, the do's and don'ts of kids at the office. Allison, it's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
All right, I'm going to turn to our topic this month, which is kids in the office. Work environments are changing. You know, mores and rules are changing. When is it okay to bring your kid to work?
It really depends on your office culture. I mean, there are some offices where it would never be okay to do it. There's some where it's okay if it's an emergency, but you don't do it often. And there's even some where people are pretty laid back about it happening more often than that. So you've got to have a good feel for your office's particular culture, which is so often the case about these workplace questions.
Right.
But I will say if it's okay to do it in your office, it's really important to be thoughtful about how to do it appropriately, how to minimize the impact on your coworkers. So making sure that your kid doesn't make a ton of noise and isn't racing through the halls and rifling through papers and has something to occupy them and keep them busy if they're older than a baby. I hear from a lot of readers who get frustrated when parents bring kids into work and then don't pay attention to those things, and it ends up interfering and being a disruption. So you just, if it is okay in your office, you just want to watch out for those things.
I want to play you a question from one of our listeners, Christina Mayer. Let's play that audio.
My son is 7 months old. While on maternity leave, I brought him to meet my manager and coworkers. Since then, several coworkers in other departments have asked me repeatedly to bring my son back to work so they can enjoy, quote, baby time. We're allowed to work from home, so some days I come in and leave after morning meetings. My question is it okay to bring my crawling but otherwise laid-back baby for an hour once or twice a year? What's the etiquette for babies at work?
All right, Allison, hit it. What's the etiquette?
I think an hour once or twice a year is going to be fine in most offices, especially if your coworkers are clamoring to see your baby.
Right.
I think the danger is when people take it a little too far, where they hear that enthusiasm and so the kid starts coming in all the time, and then you get people who maybe aren't as okay with it but feel awkward about saying something. So I think just be careful to keep it to once or twice a year. Be careful about noise. Don't stick the baby with someone else to babysit while you go to a meeting. Even if someone else seems happy to do it, it can become a problem if a work thing comes up that they need to handle, and be attuned to signals from coworkers who maybe aren't baby people. But otherwise, I think she's on pretty solid ground here.
Switching a little bit to a different perspective, I mean, there is a liability and safety issue here. What do employers have to think about? Do they have to consider liability?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they often do think about liability in most offices, but they would be smart to. There are all kinds of things kids can get into trouble with if you're not watching them in an office. I mean, you don't want your kid playing with the industrial-sized paper shredder, although I'm sure that would be great fun for them. I think one thing that I see come up more than safety issues like that is germs, that parents will sometimes bring a sick kid to work because it can be tough to get childcare when your kid is sick. You want to be careful about doing that if they're contagious. I had a letter earlier this year from a reader whose coworker brought her sick kid to work because daycare wouldn't take him when he was ill and ended up spreading norovirus throughout the whole office, including to someone who was immune compromised. So people were not pleased. So you want to tread really carefully there when germs are in play.
You know, this conversation raised some really interesting comments on our Facebook page and around really what some people saw as inequality of workloads for people with kids and without. I want to read you a little bit of a comment from Rachel Sennett. She says, as a child-free woman myself, I can tell you with certainty that employers take our child-free status for granted. I have never and will never cost my employer even one day of maternity leave, additional insurance cost, calling out with a sick child, leaving work to attend school events, etc. I'm dependable always unless there is a huge emergency. But it seems like the child-free among us are always somehow picking up the slack for parents when duty calls, even though it has nothing to do with us. So put a pin in that, and then I'm going to read the flip side, and we can get into this. To which this comment, Erin Rainey responded, quote, "If you get in a car accident or whatever and have to leave your job for an extended period of time, guess who will pick up the slack for you? Your coworkers with kids. Being a parent isn't some magical get out of work free card. When I have a, quote, sick day, I'm still working, but with my kid. Before I had kids, I happily covered for my coworkers who had family obligations because everyone deserves a life outside of work, whether that is time spent on kids or hobbies or significant others or friends." So this is a really thorny one, Allison. People get into this. Does Rachel have a point? Do companies kind of expect child-free workers to, you know, carry some weight here? Or what do you think?
Sometimes, yeah, I think they do. I hear from a lot of child-free people who are frustrated that their employers don't give them the same flexibility that they give parents. Everyone understands a parent needing to leave to pick up a child from daycare, but non-parents will often have a tougher time if they want to leave early to take a class or play in a volleyball league or whatever it might be. Ideally, employers would find ways to be flexible with everyone, not just people with kids. But in reality, the way it plays out, the needs of people with kids often end up taking priority.
So, I mean, is there something employers can do to kind of deal with how raw that issue gets or kind of address that feeling of inequity?
So I think what managers need to do is keep an eye on how this stuff is playing out over time and make sure that whatever flexibility they're offering is distributed evenly over a period of time. Maybe it's not distributed evenly tonight when people have to stay late for a deadline, but over the course of a month or a quarter, you want to make sure that it's evening out.
Okay, we have covered kids. We are going to mention another family member, and I know I'm going to get a hard time for this, fur babies. This is a question from Brian Rivera. "A few months back, I started to bring my pup to the office, a Greyhound former racer. He's potty trained, haven't had any issues outside a few people slipping him snacks. What should I be doing to be a bit more proactive on making sure he doesn't overstay his welcome?" I have a dog. I am biased in favor of dogs. I have not brought her here, but is it okay to bring your pet to the office? And, you know, let's help Brian out. I'd be like, how do you make it still okay?
So in some offices, it is okay. It's sort of like the thing with kids. You've got to know your own office. It can be tricky because you have to factor in people who have allergies or people who maybe just aren't comfortable around dogs. But if you're in an office where those aren't issues and your dog is well-behaved and welcomed by your coworkers, a lot of people will consider it a real benefit. Even the people who aren't bringing the dog in will consider it a real benefit to get to interact with the dog during the day. You've just got to be gracious about it if the situation ever changes. If your office hires someone who turns out to have serious allergies and your dog can't come in anymore, you don't want that person to be the target of everyone's resentment for ruining the good time with the dog. I had a letter a couple of years ago from someone who was highly allergic to dogs. Got a job in an office where a lot of people brought their dogs to work, and then faced a ton of hostility from everyone for being the cause of the dog policy ending. And it was bad enough that
she was like the downer.
Yeah, she killed all the dog fun. So she ended up leaving over it because people were so hostile to her about it. So you don't want to be the cause of a situation like that. So if you can bring your dog to work, enjoy it while you can. Just know that it might not be forever because your staffing might change and someone might come in where it doesn't work for them.
I'm going to repeat all of this tomorrow when I get home and talk to her and give her dinner. Allison Green writes the workplace blog Ask a Manager. She joins us every month to answer your questions. If you've got a work issue you need help with, office relationships, how to revamp your resume, the tricky question of whether you should microwave fish, never, ever. You can email us. We're weekend@marketplace.org. And you can listen to more of Allison's advice by going to our website, marketplace.org. Allison Green, as always, thank you.
Thanks for having me.